Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 14th of May, recording at 9:23 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Asia, mostly firm, and primarily due, I think, to the Chinese announcement that some of the Chinese investment management companies would be able to invest outside of China. I think mainly in the Hong Kong market, particularly in the H shares. As a consequence, both the H share index and the Hang Seng index had strong gains and new closing highs for this move. Elsewhere, Europe was up a little bit in the morning, but then lost those gains, closed mostly with small losses. Stockholm was an exception, up a bit. And also the S&P MIB, but only up a fraction. Wall Street had some modestly good gains, then slipped to the minus column, and then rallied a little bit towards the close, repaired them back towards the close. The Dow closed up 20, but the S&P was down 2.7 in here, and the that's points, not percent. It's only a 0.18%. And elsewhere, I see also Brazil, Mexico, Canada all down a little bit. NASDAQ was down a little bit. As well. In government bonds now, bunds broke down. That's potentially important. That certainly looks important on the chart for the deterioration. The whole sector was a bit soft, but it was bunds in particular that showed the weakness, followed by UK gilts. The U.S. dollar a little bit easier in here when you net it all out. Very slightly easier, but the dollar index is still above the 82 level. I think if it were to sustain a move below that for more than a day or two, I think that the dollar sentiment might begin to erode again. And metals. This was a soft day in here, although well off the lows. Wasn't big action, but again, it was soft. And that's for all of the metals, precious and industrial. The agricultural commodities, mixed. White sugar about the best of the gains. Coffee's been firmer here as well, but corn was down today. Soybeans up, so mixed performance overall. Okay, well, what's going on here? First, let's take this China situation. Having talked for so many years about the Wall Street leash effect, I've been saying more recently that we also be aware of what I suspect will be the China leash effect overall. And we saw that today with those strong gains in the China H share index. Beg your pardon, the China A share index, that's the mainland Chinese index, and the Shanghai Composite, and they closed near the higher side of the day. They're within small ranging patterns, so they're still not racing ahead, but right close to the highs, but closed firm overall. But it was really that jump in the H shares traded out of Hong Kong and in the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, I think that spurred some additional buying in the rest of, pretty well all the rest of Asia. Australia benefited from that as well. Australia closed firm just under its all-time highs in here today. Now, while I never want to rationalize price action, and those were good surges, as I say, the Hang Seng up 2.5% and the H shares must have been up a bigger percentage move. It was on an announcement, and it will take a few days, I would say at least the rest of this week, to see whether that move has legs or not. In other words, is it extended into new high ground, which would certainly add to the overall bullish sentiment. Now, since China has been pretty firm all along, and now you've got new closing highs on the Hong Kong indices, it's really another downward dynamic by China that will have the more emotive effect, because people have gotten used to strength in China, and it's when they start to see weakness, particularly if China were to string together several days of weakness. I think that would be a major warning shot across the bows for stock markets in terms of a bigger reaction, and I think it would make investors quite nervous. We will see, as they say. It's certainly going to happen at some stage, and probably not in the very distant future, given the upward acceleration that we have seen by the mainland China indices. Now, what else to comment on here? European indices, I've been doing a review of these today on the moving average basis, the 200-day moving average basis, using weekly charts. They're all mildly overextended, and they all have very similar patterns, which makes the analysis fairly easy. Aside from the fact that they've been going up for 4 years, or I should say less difficult, but aside from the fact that they've been going up for over 4 years now, the patterns don't look at all bad. The more worrying one is the banks index. Now, that's just been ranging, and it's really been ranging for the better part of the last year. So, if that were to, mind you, the moving average is still rising, and the index is still just to the plus side of that moving average. But if that FTSE 350 banks index, you'll be able to see it when I post this shortly after the broadcast. If that index were to slip much below the 11,000 level, that would be another warning. Now, overall, my view is that the upward trends are most definitely not over. Well, that's not a view, that's a fact. And in the sense that you can see the action for yourselves, we still have the rising lows, we still have the rising long-term moving averages. A lot of people have been nervous about stock markets, as you know. My nervousness is confined mainly to the fact that I wouldn't be surprised to see another reaction. Actually, I feel that we are in a reaction phase right now, and I had been saying over the last couple of months that following the late February, early March mini meltdown, as I've described it, that I felt the next reaction, which I believe has commenced, I felt that next reaction would not be another mini meltdown, but would be more of a ranging consolidation, moving a little bit closer to the 200-day moving average and correcting short-term overbought conditions in the process. Now, what would change that? Well, it would have to be a leash effect coming from Wall Street, or more likely China, in the form of several days of pronounced weakness that made everybody nervous and caused a few people to scurry towards the sidelines. But still, I'm not looking for more than a reaction. But again, if I want something to worry about, the Euro bunds that I mentioned in my introduction, they have broken down. This is not a healthy chart pattern overall. And I've been saying for the last few years that bond markets were in a very gradual topping out process. That's bond prices. Therefore, bond yields, long-dated government bond yields, were in a very gradual bottoming out prices. And people would say, oh, yes, but you know that there's so many baby boomers of retirement age that that will keep yields low, or the Chinese will keep yields low, or the Pension funds will keep yields lower. The Japanese will keep yields low. This is really people talking their own book. And I think that the bond situation is just slowly deteriorating. Well, again, I don't mean this to sound arrogant, but I'd say it's not just an opinion, it's a fact. Look at the charts. There's no way you can look at the chart evidence, go in and put up a long-term chart of the Bund futures, or put up a chart of the yield, and you'll see exactly what I mean. Now, that doesn't mean that it's panic stations for equities, and actually, that could help the stock market in the short term, help stock markets in the short term, as more people just walked away from the bonds, or at least didn't put any new money in there, and moved into equities. So let's net it all out, and the year is still on track for reasonable gains in line with the historically bullish third year of the US presidential election cycle. I've said that we can expect more reactions, and it's not impossible that we could get a medium-term correction similar to what we saw this time last year. But the more reactions we get, the less likely we are to have a medium-term correction. In other words, the reactions, which are smaller, they correct the overbought conditions, and we are correcting a short-term overbought condition right now. Okay, looking at the precious metals, well, it's Dullsville here, or worse, Driftsville, in terms of the gold and silver, and they are still very much within ranging patterns. They look well supported overall, but prices have been dipping a little bit, which isn't fun for anyone who holds the futures, including myself. And there's an opportunity cost with the futures. Headwinds are the higher interest rates, and the other headwind, well, a little bit of apathy here because they haven't been performing that well since the last year. That will change, and when it changes, it will change dramatically because of the buildup of underlying support evident on the charts. But it didn't change today, that's for sure, and we will really require some clear upward dynamics on the chart to galvanize that bullish sentiment. We also had gold sales from Spain, the central bank in Spain. But we've had this sort of selling from time to time by the European central banks. So that's not big news. But when there's a paucity of bullish news, then even a little bit of bearish news can just help to keep prices subdued, and I think that's the environment we're seeing. It weighed a little bit on the industrial metals today, but they have been towers of strength or pillars of strength overall. And I watch this nickel with interest here, and that's back on. It's back under the 50,000 level. That's the LME third month price here once again. I think that one's probably quite important psychologically because it's the one that's gone up the most. It's surprised people the most, so it could quite possibly exert a little bit of a leash effect in its own right. Okay. Elsewhere, softs to say a bit mixed overall. Again, we continue to get bullish commentary on the agricultural commodities, but these markets really do require some clear evidence of crop damage to cause prices to spike. Now, and those who trade commodities on the long side might hope for that, but be careful what you wish for because that would hit consumer spending. It would cause problems for the central banks in terms of interest rates. Overall, it would certainly be a headwind for stock markets because it would produce a particularly emotive form of inflation, that being food price inflation. Last but not least, crude oil up a fraction in here today, as was natural gas, but for a change, gasoline was down today, down, looks like $5.60. And just mention that I will have a broadcast on Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Well, I'll probably have broadcasts those days as well, albeit somewhat hoarse in the voice, because I have the pleasant occasion of my penultimate 2-day chart seminar coming up this Thursday and Friday. That has been oversold for a while, as you may be aware if you follow developments closely on the website. And I thank you for your interest. Meanwhile, all the very best for another day.